and welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
I wish at times, listeners, you could get some of the pre-roll. No, let me take this back. I'm glad you don't get the pre-roll. Let me just say there are parts of the pre-roll that I would just love for you to hear, because it's just a casual conversation between me and Kevin Ezell, and then Kevin Spratt and Amy Jordan will jump in at times. And they're nuggets there. And I'm almost saying, if we could have only recorded that half a sentence, that would have been great. But then again, I don't want to record all the rest of them. So we'll just give you what we give you during the recorded time. I do think you're going to really, really get some benefit from this particular podcast, Five Characteristics of a Church Leader Who Will Lead Well in the Post-Pandemic Era. There's a lot of subjectivity here, but again, there's a lot of subjectivity that is bolstered by biblical truth, and we'll be talking about that. But let me thank North American Mission Board and churchreplanters.com for sponsoring Revitalize and Replant. We've just got so many churches are at risk for closing. The North American Mission Board is committed to reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches and simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new churches. You're going to find out more about what it means to be a replanting pastor or to explore all the resources they have. Go to churchreplanters.com. All right, Kevin Ezell, we were talking, and just before we even get into some of the major points of the five characteristics, just give me an overview of some of the things that you're seeing as we're recording this. We are still in mainly the quarantine. It'll be released middle May, and you know, we may be edging towards some type of slow unpacking and people going back to in-person services. But just tell me what you're seeing on the church front and some of the things that from your perspective, because you got a really broad view of it.
Yeah, I've been really encouraged by the creativity of some. And one of the best stories is, you know, bivocational pastor runs 25. He's a little over 70 years old. He's against social media, you know. And his granddaughter said, "Papa, you know, you might want to do a Facebook Live." And he's like, "What's that?" And she explained it to him. And so the next Sunday, he preached on Facebook Live for the very first time in his life. And he went from 25 to over 70 in attendance. And he's like, "Where's this been all my life?" You know. And so it's things like that that are just really encouraging. That papaws are learning to do Facebook Live. And what I mean by that is it's paddle shocked some to go from the 8-track all the way up to the CD and hopefully to digital eventually. I mean, there's some things that would have taken 20 years that guys have had to up their game pretty fast. And so I think that's been helpful. The challenge I fear is that, you know, this is going to be longer than when they say, "When do you think it's going to be over, June or July?" And like, look, this is going to be, it's going to take months and perhaps years to recover to some degree. And even when they say you can go back, I mean, my word, you know, there's so many implications of going back. You know, how do you go back in social distance? And how do you, and in kids, you can't social distance 3-year-olds. I mean, it's just, how do you do some of this? And so, there's a lot of ramifications, but overall, I've just been really encouraged by the creativity of so many pastors.
Well, let's talk about some of these church leaders who will lead well. One of the obvious characteristics is that they're courageous. For whatever reason, and maybe it's because I've looked at it so many times, Numbers 13 comes to me, the story of Caleb and Joshua saying, "Okay, we want to get on the other side of this, and let me tell you what I see." And of course, they see all kind of opportunities, and then there's the majority view. The leaders who say, "Nope, it's got these big giants. It's got these fortified cities. It's just too dangerous. We're not going to go in." Two different perspectives from a group of leaders. Two of them were obviously courageous. 10 of them were obviously fearful. Courageous is going to be one of those characteristics, Kevin, as churches get ready to move to whatever that other side means.
Right. If I were a pastor and I had a staff or a deacon's group or whatever my core leadership team would be, I would take the Apollo 13 movie clip of when they come in, they put all the stuff on the table and say, "Failure is not an option."
Yes.
Moving forward is not an option. We're going to move forward. It's just a matter of how we're going to do it. We're not going to spend all of our time looking back at what we had, you know, pre-pandemic. You know, I wouldn't be constantly licking your wounds or looking back at all what we had. We're just going to, I would think the proper word here is to reset. We got to reset and move on. And I think it's just time for you to put your big boy pants on. And look, you're the one going to have to lead them through this. And failure is not an option. And you're right. It's you've got to be courageous and realistic. You've got to take the next step. My word, we can't just cancel church for the rest. I mean, we were called to do this regardless of how much money we had or how much access. We just got to find a way to make it happen.
Well, a second characteristic is something you mentioned really at the onset. You called it innovative or something like that, but are willing to lead and think outside the box. That's what we're seeing now, even before we get to the other side of this.
No, absolutely. I don't know how to make it happen. You know, I love the ideas of some of these guys have gone to drive-ins. In church planning world, we look for schools. And now what's funny is something as archaic as a drive-in theater have become a hot commodity. Yes. So everybody's trying to find a drive-in theater to use. And you know, First Baptist Houston, it's a large church, but they're looking at doing tailgate parties outside and watch the service online together, you know, and just come up with creative ways to make it happen. And so innovation is going to be, and the best thing you do is learn from everybody, large church, small church. I mean, there's one guy is so tired of preaching to one camera person and an IT person that I thought this is a great idea. He's having tickets. You can come to the Thursday night taping. It's like a studio audience idea. You can come to the Thursday, but there's only X amount of tickets because they're going to set every other row and 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And you file in. But there's an X amount of tickets, and they're going to work them through the church where you can come to the taping on Thursday night, where you do get a bit of live. And then he gets the benefit of preaching to live people instead of a camera.
That's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea. I told him I'd charge for those cotton picking tickets.
Oh, Matt, you know, I think that's the first time I've heard that kind of idea, but I will steal it and share it with a lot of others. Let me share with you some early data that we're picking up on this. And again, for you statisticians out there, it has not been scientifically validated. It's ongoing surveys that we're doing. Right when the in-person services started, we did a survey and we asked, what is your outlook for the church? Basically, it's a financial outlook, but overall outlook. At the time we did that, and I shared this with you in a previous podcast, Kevin, at the time we did that, it was 15% said their doors are going to close. Just a few weeks later, 2.5 weeks, I believe it was, that number had gone down to only 3%. I mean, again, those aren't scientifically validated. It's the surveys of the people that we're talking to, but still a few thousand people. And so it seems what is happening is we are hearing from people that saying, you know what, we might just get through this. We might just find a way on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And I think you had some choice comments when I gave you the 15% number. I don't remember them exactly, but you something about big boy pants there too or something.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, cash is main card. Well, look, even the 3% that they think they're not going to make it, look, call me, all right? Or email me, or church planners, let us know. Because we'd love to use your facility and put a real man in there to lead. So just let me. I'm serious. I mean, that's ridiculous. Just let us know. Don't let your building go to waste. We'd love to use it.
Well, and we'll be talking in our next podcast, and it's just right down the road, I should say. It may not be the next one, but a couple of weeks from now, we'll be talking in our next podcast about those who are having to go from full-time paid to bivocational and some right. decisions they'll make. So we'll get to that one in a little while. Now, let me tell you one of the most encouraging things that we're seeing. Prayer ministries are, in my lifetime, at an all-time high. And right. define prayer ministry any way you want to, but the number of prayer ministries, the numbers of people involved in these prayer ministries, the numbers in the community that are impacted by any type of metric, whether it is quantified specifically or as anecdotal, every type of metric that we're seeing is that, my goodness, we can really start really depending on God now. We don't have our own resources to do so. So prayerful is one of the characteristics of these leaders.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would encourage people to be open to, you know, I've met more of my neighbors in the last 3 weeks than I've met in the last 3 years.
I have too, Kevin.
Well, that's not saying a lot for you.
Well, now I know more than one.
You've been social distancing for over 50 years.
Yes. Over 60, Kevin. Over 60.
But I'm saying, you know, it's a great chance to engage people, even as an evangelistic way of engaging your neighbors to get together, even outdoor and pray, you know. Yeah. And we've had some planters in Canada do this, have neighborhood prayer meetings where people come together and pray, and they pray to things and beings that they may have never heard of. But it was all about connecting and just saying, look, we want to pray for, I don't just say people who do not have a relationship with Christ have a sense of need to pray and to engage spiritually. And I would just encourage people evangelistically to engage them and walk them to that point. But you're right, prayer ministries, and it's a great time just to purposely encourage people. And everybody can do that, where you have a phone, an email, to take time to pray. Yes. And engage and just encourage people. It's a great time to do that.
Well, I've been walking the neighborhood, some by myself, some with Nellie Jo. Yes, I've met more neighbors. Shame on me that I didn't know them ahead of time, but met so many neighbors. One of my most recent encounters is, I'm not going to give the title of it right now. I'm just going to describe the scene. I'm walking on a loop that comes in front of my house, and I see one of my neighbors, and he's sitting down next to one of those drains. We have a river behind our house, the Harpeth River, and water drains into that and goes into the Harpeth. And he was sitting on that drain. He was going, "Wow, wow." And I looked at him, and I was going to walk by for just a minute. I heard him keep on doing that. "Wow." So I turned around, and I said, "Are you okay?" He looked, oh yeah. He kind of just was startled. He said, "I guess you're wondering what I'm doing." I said, "Maybe just a little bit." "Yeah, maybe just a little bit." His cat had decided to go down one of those drains, and he was going drain to drain, or opening to opening, to see if the cat would respond. And he found the one where he heard the cat. And so I just sit with him a little while, and we drink together. And that was the beginning of my evangelistic encounter with this guy. And I said something like, "I'm just going to pray the cat comes back." Cat came back, Kevin. Cat came back. He crawled back up and into the hands of this dude.
Now, cat coming back just doesn't sound like an answer to prayer to me.
Well,
I'm not a cat guy, you know.
And Sam would say yes, that I was cursed because the cat would come back. So you're the same way. But basically, he said he didn't like the cat either. And I said, "Why are you calling him back?" And he said, "Because I took the cat for a walk, and my wife said, don't come home without the cat." So that's why he wanted the cat.
There you go. There you go. Motivation.
I'm sorry. Less travel, but a lot prayerful. Another one is willing to understand the times. Let me just give up. Just kind of a, this sounds like a shameless plug, which is not anything that anybody would be surprised with me, but Church Answers, at least the closest knit community, which is a little over 2,000 now, the kind of our ongoing daily interaction people, mostly pastors, but not all pastors. One thing that they're doing consistently is they're asking what is going on, and instead of waiting for experts to respond, Kevin, they're listening to each other.
Yeah.
And pastors are listening. Pastor, this goes back to what you said. Learn from other church leaders. There is a wealth of information out there. That's how you can begin to understand the times.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. This is not the time to go in a cocoon or in a cave and not understand what's going on, but take in as much information as you possibly can, and then contextualize it where you are and make the very most of the situation. So
you just wait till people hear this podcast, and again, blessed with the growth of the podcast, really blessed with the growth of the podcast since you came on. And you just wait till they hear the story that you just told and about having a live studio audience, if you will.
Yeah.
That you're going to see it here. Like, I had not heard that.
Yeah.
And so I'll be repeating it. Others will be repeating it. It's a great story.
Oh, it's a great idea. I mean, it's hard to talk to a camera, you know, but you got people who actually respond and laugh at certain parts or don't laugh. And yeah, I would encourage, I don't care if there's 10 people out there, I'd get some people spread out, and that's a great, much, much better way to personalize it.
By the way, understanding the times as well. We currently have a in-person poll going on, not an in-person. We currently have a live poll going on at Church Answers that one of our pastors started. And it's basically a question of how are your finances holding up? And I'd have to go look at the exact number, but right around 50%, right at 50% said better than before the pandemic. And 25%, and again, I'm trying to vaguely remember the numbers, 25% said at least as good. So 3/4 are saying as good or better. And I'm going to ask Kevin Spratt, while we're looking at that, or Amy, either one of you, to go to the Church Answers. And that poll should be near the top if you can give us the most recent results.
The challenge with unemployment like it is, you know, I think that is for now. It's just amazing how many, you know, it's going to be interesting to see in the months ahead.
That's true.
How that impacts it. But I think, man, I believe you're right. It's amazing. People have been resilient through that. I don't know if I underestimate everyone or pastor or people, but man, they've responded much, much better than I anticipated.
Yeah. And, you know, you hate to say that you're encouraged in a pandemic because people are getting sick and dying and losing their jobs. And that's not what we're saying, but we certainly are encouraged. And I think your word there is resilience. It's God-given resilience in the midst of all of this. This next one is not the easiest of them, but and we're going down characteristics of church leaders who will lead well in the post-pandemic era. And we've said courageous, willing to lead and think outside the box, prayerful, and willing to understand the times. And actually, if you look at this list, numbers 2 and 4, willing to lead and think outside the box, willing to understand the times, are intricately related. Sometimes you think outside the box as you begin to understand the times that we're in. This next one is something that is not the most fun of these, but willing to count the cost. You know, I'm just going to put one out there that you and I'll be talking about in a couple of weeks about, okay, maybe my church cannot support me full time. Maybe I'll have to go part time, bivocational. You're seeing pastors out there and church leaders having to count the cost right now, I'm sure.
No, absolutely. And some having that, you know, you have, I know initially no retirement contributions, 10%, 20% cut. And I think, you know, I just encourage pastors to try to look ahead and proactively do some things, to release some of that pain. And if it is to supplement in some way, you know, I used to umpire baseball, you know, when I was a pastor, to because of that very thing, not because of a pandemic, but I'm just saying it's sometimes not your preference, but there are people out there where it just would help to be proactive and not make it so that the church has to make that decision. I'd rather make the decision for myself and just say, hey, look, I'm going to work at Kroger or, you know, Publix or whoever. I know those are the people right now that are asking for workers. And I thought it was going well at home until my wife said, she mentioned to me that Kroger was hiring the other day. I don't know
what Yeah. This time is also a test for all marriages that are out there. all this time together. I served as a pastor of 4 churches, and I know I'm going back into antiquity, so I don't want to make it like I know. But my first 2 were bivocational, and those 2, I've got to say, I had some of the greatest evangelistic fruit personally,
right,
that I've ever had, because I didn't always have my foot in the church world. It's kind of like getting out in the neighborhood and watching neighbors meow, sitting on a gutter in the street and,
exactly.
And having a conversation. I was in a world that I was not in during that time. So characteristics of church leaders who will lead well in the pandemic. Amy just put up the numbers for us that I was pretty close on this. 48% in this poll said giving was more than normal. 32% said the giving was about normal, and 20% said that giving was less than normal. So again, that's an anecdotal low sample poll. I may get some more information out there, but once again, I think you're right, Kevin. And it's even worth noting. I may even put it out there at some point, and I'll give you all the credit, of course, that maybe the toughest financial times are down the road. It's the job implications of this begin to take place.
Yeah, I don't want to be negative, but you just want to be realistic. I mean, if you have up to 20% unemployment, it has to have a hit at some point.
Yes.
All these states are not getting tax revenue, and they're going to be sucking wind, and that's even in government of employees. It's there's a trickle down effect that's got to hit at some point, but you know, who knows? It's like you said, a leader in a time like this has to be, you can't have a 1-year plan. I don't even know if you can have a 6-month plan. You know, it's really a month to month plan. Mm-hmm. Because things change so fast.
One of the characteristics I've always seen of you, Kevin, and you get uncomfortable when I'm bragging on you, but whether you are a pastor, and I've seen you in that role because you were my pastor, and are a leader at NAM, those are the two roles that I've seen you, you know how to pivot. And when the times change, you know how to pivot and adjust accordingly, never pivoting on doctrine, never pivoting on biblical truth, but pivoting to the times. And that's a good characteristic, you know, just willing to change.
Well, you're kind of, I would just encourage pastors to not hesitate to pivot. It's one thing to pivot. The timing of the pivot is what's most important. You know, it's one thing to walk across the street and see a car coming and go, wow, there's a car coming. I think I'll call a couple of guys and see what should I do. Should I go right or should I go left? Well, you doggone need to pivot and do it fast. So you can pivot, but pivot too late and be flattened, you know? And so I think that's where guys, if you got to just understand, man, you've got to follow your instinct and do things quicker than later in times like this, because things change. It's just like you take the payroll protection plan, the PPP that came out recently. You know, they came out with, but now they've changed some of the stipulations.
Yes.
And a pastor or leader's got to make a decision and pivot fast.
Yep.
And
yep.
If they change things, then you got to pivot again. And so you've just got to week to week, you keep your eyes open. And I mean, you need to be on the phone pinging things off people you trust every day. And one, it encourages me to talk to other people. And two, I just do not want to get hit blindsided. And so you're kind of say that, but it's important to pivot, but the timing of the pivot's everything. Because you make the right decision at the wrong time and you still get flattened.
Well, thank you all for joining us for Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer and Kevin Ezell. And thank you, as always, to the North American Mission Board and ChurchReplanters.com. Just to give you a word, we'll continue on some of these themes with Mark Clifton next week. And then the week after, we'll be back with Kevin Ezell, and we'll be talking about what if you have to move to bivocational status during this era. And we'll look at some of the realities of that. Thank you again for being with us. Thank you, Kevin. And then thank you for Kevin Spratt and Amy Jordan, who are in the production area. And as always, we'll be here revitalizing, replanting, so we can grow healthy churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.